It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to our program. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Always good to be joined by Jim Barrier.
Well, good evening, everybody. And we're going to get into a topic here in a few minutes, but I'm sure you have covered this, but I wasn't aware until I read this week, Kamala Harris informed us that abortion is a constitutional right.
Oh, well, she's
now,
such a...
I didn't even know that those guys, when they wrote that, that was a big topic.
Well, she's such a constitutional scholar. She's right up there with AOC and Bernie Sanders, so she must know what she's talking about.
I guess. I don't know. You know, I had to take civics when I was in high school, and we at least had to...
Oh, you mean they polluted and confused your mind with actual facts when you went to high school, Jim?
I don't know about that, but at least we had to read the preamble and... You know, the Bill of Rights, and I don't know if she ever has studied any of that. I don't know. But I just had to get that off my chest.
And our founding document talks about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and it's kind of hard to grant somebody that when they're being aborted.
Yeah, guarantee of life. What? Okay. All right, just had to get that out of the way there. That will be fodder for another show, I suppose.
Hey, here's some more fodder for you. I just found out yesterday Dan Bongino no longer with Fox News.
I saw that, and I
was disappointed to see that because I know Fox has been compromising, and they went kind of dark after the 2020 election. I'm not sure what the deal is with Bongino. I'm surprised Tucker Carlson is still there. Well, who knows? It may just be a matter of time.
Matter of time, I imagine so. I really have become less of a Fox fan in recent years. It's just the way things are, you know, The woke culture has invaded everything in our society, even the church, which might be a segue to get to our topic tonight. Now, if you've read the Gospels, I know you have, Bob, people may be familiar with the conversation when Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate. He said, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate's response was, "What is truth?" And that's what I'd like to talk about tonight. And I want to give one more little introduction here. I have a book on my shelf. I have a huge library, as I'm sure you do. And one of the books on my shelf is called I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But...
Oh, I've heard of that book, Jim. You know, I heard that the guy that wrote that is really good, really good.
It's a great book. Listeners out there, there will probably be a plug somewhere during the show. We talk about that book in the breaks, but it's a great book answering questions, serious questions that need answers. And I want to read two lines from that book. The first one is, if there is a God, would he not be integrated with reality? If there is a God, would he not be integrated with reality? And then the other line, which is kind of a frightening thing. When it comes to religion, most people are not interested in truth.
Yeah, it is interesting because when people say God doesn't belong in the classroom, that the classroom is for science, we're going, well, hypothetically, if there is a God, he couldn't be more integrated with science. But they're starting with the assumption that he doesn't exist. That's the problem. And we never question those assumptions.
And the classic scientists in history, most of them believed in God.
Oh, of course they did.
Maybe even if they were just theists or whatever. And that's not a bad word, really. I consider myself a theist under the broad umbrella. Christianity is a system that believes in a creator who created the universe. So that's a very broad, simple understanding of theism. And so Islam and Judaism and Christianity would all I think, fall under that umbrella. But most of the scientists in Western culture were believers on some level. So
they believed in an orderly universe, and then in time they got so arrogant they threw out God, and you can't have an orderly universe apart from God.
Yeah.
I know people will make the claim that you can, but it's really rationally impossible.
Well, and I know you've done well in your career with having discussions and debates with such people, and it's always interesting to listen to those things, because at a certain point, a switch is flipped where we cease to be logical or use good premise, conclusion, that type of thing that used to be taught, and it's more based on feeling or what is politically correct or those kind of things. But I'm going to make a statement here. I believe that truth is reality. From God's perspective, truth is reality from God's perspective. So any way that we apprehend truth or come upon truth, we're really tapping into what is reality for God. And of course, he does reveal truth to us because that's the reality that he exists in. So the first question here, I won't call it a debate, but we'll just kind of do some role playing here. So the first question I have is, does truth exist?
Now, well, and the answer would be yes. And even those that try to say there's no such thing as truth betray the fact that they really believe in it. When they say there's absolutely no such thing as truth, they're making what they are calling a truth statement. They're speaking the truth about truth, supposedly.
Exactly. That's the irony of that type of thinking. And I think there's a reason people buy into those positions, because there's a concern about what the truth might dictate to them when it starts to deal with their morals and their actions and that sort of thing. So I would agree. I think we'll go with the premise that truth does exist, because if you say it doesn't, you've got yourself in a big circle there. You're in trouble. Now, if truth exists, is truth knowable? Can we actually know the truth? And it's the same problem with that question. To say, no, you can't know the truth is assuming that it's true that you can't know what is true.
Yeah, if they wanted to be a little more philosophically consistent, they could say, I'm not sure if anything is true. But even then, they're sure that they're not sure of something. So they're even sure of that. So it gets into evasive quicksand there.
Yeah, but it's amazing how many times people will just throw those statements out like that. I believe that truth exists, and I believe that we can know the truth. Which brings me to one of the most misused terms, a very popular term, a phrase that is used in our culture. I've heard it in pop music, in movies, politicians say it all the time. It's actually even carved in stone in the original CIA headquarters building. And that is this: the truth will set you free. We hear that all the time, right? The truth will set you free.
Yes, and I know you know. And of course, the founder of those words is Jesus.
Yeah. And there's more to that statement. It's actually a conditional thing. He says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples or students or followers, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So it isn't just a free ticket. It isn't a get out of jail free card or a free pass at Disneyland. You have to continue in his word, abide in his word, live in his word, stay there, and then you're his disciple, his follower, and then you will know the truth, and then the truth will set you free. And of course, when he said that, the Pharisees got all up in arms and they said, we've never been slaves to anyone. Well, that was even a lie, because, you know, they'd been slaves to Babylon, slaves to Egypt, and at the time they're occupied by Rome. But he wasn't talking about political freedom. He was talking about freedom from the bonds of sin and deception and the unreality that the enemy of our soul would try to brainwash us with. So he said, you can be set free, and it's by truth, but it comes from listening to me and following me. So the truth will set you free. Sheryl Crow used it in a song. I heard it just recently. I was watching a movie, and the guy just kind of threw that out there. Well, the truth will set you free. And I thought, most of these people have no idea where that came from or who said it. But you set the record straight. Jesus is the one who said that. And it is true that the truth will set you free. One of my favorite books, in fact, it's probably my favorite book in the Bible, is First John, John's first letter, epistle. Very short book, but it's just jam-packed with truth, And John uses the word no 26 times. Now, in the Greek, it's the word gnosis, where they get the word Gnostics. And I think that he deliberately did that because he was battling with these people. I don't think they called themselves that at that time, but it's a label we came up with later. It was like the first Christian cult. And so he was refuting them, saying, this is what we know. And I'll give you a few examples of his 26 uses of that word. We know that we have come to know him. We know that we are in him. We know that we have passed out of death into life. And this is one of my favorites. We know that when he appears, we will be like him. So certainly the Apostle John, and I'm sure all of the apostles reading the letters, the Gospels, all believed in truth. And they believed that you could know the truth. And they were solid in what they had come to believe and to know. And that's a big part of what John's first letter is. And he starts off saying, we know this. We saw it firsthand. We touched him. We saw him. We gazed on him. This is not a rumor. This is no fantasy. He said, I was there. I saw the whole thing. And it really happened. And we know it. What you and I and people in our era, 2,000 years later, we have to come to a point where we can solidly say, this is what I know is true. There are truths that I need to base my life on. Because if I don't have a solid foundation based in real truth, reality from God's perspective, my life will spin out of control. And I think we're seeing that on a societal level right now. More about truth. Jesus told the woman at the well. It's a great story. You know, here's this Samaritan woman. I won't break into song. I usually do the Guess Who song, you know, Samaritan woman. But I won't do that to you tonight because my allergies are bothering me. But okay. He told this woman who had asked him, she said, well, our people say worship on the mountain. Your people say worship in the temple. And she immediately wanted to get into this religious debate. And Jesus said, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.
Okay, hold that thought because we are ready for a break now. You're listening to the Bob Siegel Show. We'll be right back with Jim Barrier.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to our guest, Jim Barrier.
You know, I love the bumper music on this show. That was the great Herb Alpert. I just got back a couple of days ago.
Oh, yeah, you took a trip to Spain, didn't you?
Yeah, we were in Spain. I'd never been there, and I didn't know what to expect. I was pleasantly surprised. I just loved
I have to ask, did you go to a bullfight while you were there?
No, not my cup of tea. but I'll tell you what, I ate a lot of ham because they're really into ham over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's everywhere you go, they have these big open-air markets. You go in, and it's like going to the swap meet or the flea market, whatever you call it out there. But it's all food. There's all just little booths of all kinds of food.
I would have thought more steak with all the bullfighting. Ham surprises me.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's just a popular thing over there. And then we were in some of the coastal cities, and so a lot of seafood. But I loved Spain. I loved the old buildings, and I loved the people. And I posted about it on Facebook. But this is a country that has been war-torn. They've been through so many wars, even a civil war, and dictators, and I mean, just horrendous stuff. I mean, Franco actually gave Hitler permission to bomb a city in Spain. How bizarre is that?
Yeah, it was odd how they kind of stayed out of World War II, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but he was pretty much lined up, I think, because of fear. He had his people suppressed.
Yeah, affected by the war,
certainly. He feared Hitler. Yeah, Germany wasn't that far away, so he kind of towed the line there. But these people had been through so much stuff, and yet I saw wonderful people, and there's two things. We'll get back to our show here later, folks. Two things that I observed. One, we ate at a lot of open-air cafes. You sit at a little table on a sidewalk or whatever, and we did that almost every day somewhere, and I never saw cell phones. Now, people own them. They have them, but when they sit down to have a meal, they talk.
Well, good for them, because I appreciate the convenience of cell phones, but they are an intrusive device, and people need to learn how to be better stewards of them.
And I loved it. People, they'd be laughing, arguing, whatever, but they're interacting. And the phone just got set aside during that time. And that was a great observation. The other thing was, this was a marvelous thing. We were there for two different Sundays. Easter Sunday, actually. We went to a high mass in a big cathedral on Easter Sunday. And then the following Sunday, we were in another city, and we went to another cathedral to go to church. Now, it's a Catholic mass. That's the predominant Christian expression there, though there's a lot of Islam and a lot of Jewish culture there as well. But we went to a Catholic church and went to a mass. And please don't think I'm backslidden for having done that.
No, Jim, we're just thinking of the Spanish Inquisition and things like that, but don't mind us.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I go into those places, and I've done this in France and other countries. I don't understand the language that they're speaking, but I understand that those people are expressing worship of Jesus Christ and his father and sometimes his mother. But, you know, there's a sense there, and I can go and worship, and I can listen to the music and listen to the priests, not have a clue what they're saying, except for when they do the Our Father prayer. I know that one. And I just worship God there. I involve myself in his presence. And, of course, the buildings were overwhelming. They're just incredible buildings. They had all kinds of free labor back in those days.
And they do say that music is the universal language. And I do think the music from the Catholic Church is beautiful.
I believe that. And that brings me back to why I even started talking about that. Whenever I travel, even when I'm going to be out next week, I'm actually leaving Tuesday to head to San Diego, and I'll be in the studio next week with you. And
We're looking forward to having you.
Oh, I love it when I'm there. I always make a playlist, and I try to time it so that it's the exact length of my flight to and from. And so that was a long flight. We had actually four legs of this thing to get to Spain and back, and I had a 21-hour playlist. And they were all instrumentals. And so I used a lot of the music that you use on the show here because it's just great stuff.
And I love instrumentals. And even when I'm playing singles that were vocals, it's usually the instrumental interlude that I play.
It triggered that when I heard Taste of Honey that was on that list. So back to our... now we return to our story.
You've been listening to A Tangent from Jim Barrier and Bob Siegel.
You know, we could do a Reader's Theater version maybe sometime. I don't know. You've done that kind of thing, haven't you?
Well, I've done one-man shows that are like Reader's Theater, except that I would do all the parts. In technical Reader's Theater, usually have actors with it.
I've had friends that have done C.S. Lewis things and stuff, who I love.
He was one of the most brilliant writers ever.
Yeah. So he said, God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And when I was a young Christian, I'd hear that, and I thought that was two different things. But I realize now they're not not only not mutually exclusive, but you can't have one without the other. If you're going to worship him in spirit, it's going to be in truth. And if you're going to worship him in truth, it's going to be by his spirit. And so he said, that's how we have to worship, not on the mountain, not on the temple. It's okay to do that, but that isn't what God's confined to, because time isn't limited him. So worship isn't limited to a 1 hour segment on Sunday morning. God is everywhere. So it's not limited to a location and a building on a corner somewhere.
And if we need locations and we need temples and we need mountains and we need rituals, that means we're not experiencing an authentic relationship with God. Because if the authentic relationship exists, which is what Jesus means when he says in spirit, the other things just don't matter. We might still want to do it in a temple or a mountain, but those are sidebars. They're not necessary.
You can go, because, I'm familiar with San Diego. I lived there half my life. You can go up there to Palomar Mountain or just up into the hills and get into quiet and the trees and the sky. And I can worship God in those places or go down to Sunset Cliffs, watch as the sun sets. I know it doesn't literally go into the, you know what I'm talking about.
Actually, I hope it's still as green when you get here. It's been raining cats and dogs. It looks like Ireland here in San Diego. But we just we just had 4 or 5 back-to-back days of heat again. I just hope a week from now when you get here, it's still green. Jim, I'm going to pray for rain just for you. I'm going to pray that it continues to rain so that it stays green.
Oh, and
you
can a lot.
You won't. Well, thanks not on your flight. Not on your flight. But I'm telling you, I wish it would rain year-long just for the way it looks so green here.
Well, then move to Oregon.
about to say that then I have to live under the People's Republic of Oregon, but since I'm already in the People's Republic of California, I imagine it doesn't make a whole lot of difference.
Yeah, not much better. But I can worship in those places sometimes more easily than when I'm in a building surrounded by people with a bunch of stuff going on. To commune with God, and I think that was part of David's secret. He was out there tending sheep and he was alone with God. And I think that was part of the depth of his character. He certainly was a flawed character, but he was a man after God's own heart. And I think he got to know God's heart.
Yeah, I'm an outdoor person too. At night, I like to go out in my backyard and walk around and look up at the stars. I love taking walks through mountains or around lakes. I'm an outdoor person too. But still, we have to tell ourselves we can be with God wherever. We may be thrown in prison for our faith someday. We may not be able to go outside anymore, but God will still be there with us.
Wherever you go, that's a fact. And that's because God is everywhere. Now, Jesus said quite a few things about truth. One of the great things that he said was he promised his disciples, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. What a great promise. It's not incumbent upon me to try to dig and figure it all out. God sends his Spirit to help me find truth. And here's another statement for you. Truth is never invented. It's only discovered. It's revealed to us. You don't have to try to go out and connive and figure it out and make up stuff. And I don't mind, I think it's okay to use your imagination. I love creativity and people that come up with stuff. I love math. But even math is something that people discover. It's a reality.
Exactly. Math isn't invented. It's discovered. And that's why it's so important when people say, the Bible can mean whatever you decide it means. Just pray about it and see what it means to you. And my response to that is always, then why did God bother to give it to us? What was his purpose in giving us the Bible if we were meant to just sit around and dream up God any old way we wanted to?
Well, and that's kind of where we're at as a society. It's whatever you want to believe, whatever you feel. And that isn't really how the Bible describes things to us.
And people would be more intellectually honest at that point to just say, okay, I don't really believe in the Bible, but they try to have their cake and eat it too. They want the tradition of the Bible and they want to claim they're following the Bible, but they don't really want to follow the Bible. So they reinvent it and they put words in its mouth.
And that's a key thing, that to be honest. To be honest, and you talk, at least an honest person would say, I don't know, I'm not sure. But when they make absolute statements about things not being absolute, I had that conversation with my neighbor one time. He said, I don't believe anything is absolute. And I said, you just made an absolute statement.
Yeah, you just say, is that your opinion about absolute truth, or are you saying it absolutely? And he goes, I'm saying it absolutely. Okay, well, Jim, hold with me for the next break. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to talk about my latest book, The Many Myths About Ministry. As you know, I'm a Christian apologist, but let me tell you something. In my many years of interactions with skeptics, doubters, and even seekers, I have found that the vast majority of their problems with Christianity stem from previous church experiences. Yes, what's more, many of their concerns are valid and serve as inspiration for this book. While defending the truth of the Bible and the importance of the gospel message, I nevertheless take an honest look at the way Christians interact with each other. From the larger issues of putting our leaders on too high a pedestal, to the unfair judging of the way another person worships, to the unsolicited advice which claims to have been led by the Spirit of God. Of course, and I do believe the Spirit of God speaks, I do, but a lot of times Christians are putting words in his mouth. Who are we kidding? My friends, this simple, easy read will strike a chord of familiarity with anyone involved in church life. It's a call to lay aside the unimportant issues that distract us and return to the heart of Christian community.
The Many Myths About Ministry by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. It's always good to be with you. And now the moment you've been waiting for all month. It's time for another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
All right, Jim. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man.
Awesome.
What do you got for me tonight?
Well, before I get to the song, I overheard that you went to Spain. And how is the food over in Spain, by any chance?
I love the food over there. It's very different. It's not like Mexican food.
Are they eating bugs yet, like all the green people are telling us to do?
Well, you can if you want to. I've eaten crickets in Oaxaca.
You told us that on the air one time. It didn't exactly make me salivate with hunger.
No, not me neither. No, no.
It was really like chili Fritos is what it was like. But no, I love the food over there, but it was different. It wasn't like Italian food or French food. They had their own cuisine. I loved most of it. And like I said, we were at a couple of coastal cities, so I ate a lot of seafood in those places. I had the best calamari ever. So, okay. Yeah, I loved it.
Awesome, awesome. Well, tonight I wanted to give you a very, very easy one for sure. So what I wanted to try to do as a challenge, a lot of radio stations will only play 3 seconds of a song, basically.
Okay.
And you will have to guess from that 3 seconds. I think this is a very iconic song. So are you ready, Jim?
Lay it on.
All right. It's just, I'm only going to do 3 seconds. If you need a little bit more, I'll try it out. But 3 seconds. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, well,
there you go. That's it.
That is All Right Now by Free.
That is correct.
Okay, let's hear some.
Let it play. Let it play.
There she stood in the street, smiling from her head to her foot. I said, hey, what is this? Now, baby, maybe, maybe she's in need of a kiss. I said, hey.
Well, very good job, Jim. The only interesting fact I have for you is that the bassist of this band, he actually lived in Temecula after he retired from music. So that's the only interesting thing I have. If you have something interesting about Free, you could throw it out there. But that's all I got, is the fact that the bassist retired to Temecula and he was performing at Temecula festivals over and over. So that was kind of cool.
Okay, yeah. Well, I actually saw Free in concert at the San Diego Sports Arena, or as we used to call it in those days, the Sports Aroma. And they were the warm-up act for a band called Traffic, who you may have heard, one of Steve Winwood's great acts. Yeah, that is a classic song. And I think Kevin, who's the musician for Jay Leno for years, the band leader, he used to use that when they went to their break sometimes. But fun song, interesting group. Paul Rogers, who had played with a lot of different groups, had a very distinctive voice. And so there you go. That's Free, ladies and gentlemen. And it won't cost you a nickel. How do we do this? How do we get off on these?
So, Jim, these chili-flavored crickets that you eat, I got a name for them. How about Chili Jiminy's?
Well, and that's what happened. I was with a team. We were on a missions trip. Well, the wheelchair distributions, I've told you about that. We're in Oaxaca, and it's a big thing down there. And, of course, all the Americans are going, ugh. And I said, hey, I'll eat them. So one of the guys ordered a big plate of crickets, and it came with a side of guacamole and chips. And so they're taking pictures and videos. And
I would have ordered the crickets, guacamole, and chips, and then said, but hold the crickets.
Well, no, it was good. It was good. Just they seasoned it with so much that all you're tasting is the chili powder. But
I know, but it's all in the mind. It's in the mind.
It is. But, you know, and when the little legs get stuck between your teeth, that's a problem.
Oh, my gosh. That's a whole nude crickets. Spit on flossing.
And in the middle of it, I started singing, when you wish upon a star.
Yeah. I'll bet that cricket had wished upon a star before he got on that hot plate.
I guess. Okay. We're going to try to recover here. So we're talking about truth. And Jesus said that the Spirit will lead you and guide you into truth. So truth is revealed. So why doesn't everyone know the truth? If it's there, it's out there, why doesn't everybody know or understand the truth?
Well, the Bible gives us that answer, but okay. I have a habit of stealing your thunder, so I'm going to let you give the answer, Jim.
No, well, if you were going to quote 1 Corinthians, it says the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God.
Well, actually, I was not going to quote that one. I was going to quote from John, not 1 John, but the Gospel of John. He says the light was coming into the world, but men loved the darkness more than the light because their deeds were evil.
That is the insight. If the truth frightens you because you realize you're in trouble when confronted with the truth, then you have two options. You can change your life or change your belief system. And that's really where the problem has been. People, they don't like the truth. They don't like the light because it exposes them. And so you can either repent and change and submit to God, or you can say, well, I just don't believe it, and make up your own truth. However, it even happens with Christians. I mean, we can't agree on anything. We've got Christians, and I mean, the Catholics and Protestants have killed each other over years, you know, in wars. So even Christians don't agree about what is true. I think Jesus addressed that when he was having it out with the Pharisees one time. He said, you nullify the word of God by your traditions that you have handed down. And that's really where the problem with denominationalism and arguing about doctrines and traditions and things in church, we strayed away from the hard, straight truth of the gospel and added our own twist on things, or said, well, you know, here's a story. I was pastoring a church and we were in a board meeting, and I was saying, now, we've got to figure out when there are things that traditions that we have that can kind of take a back seat so that we can accomplish our goal and our vision and carry out the things God's called us to do. And there's some traditions that aren't worth holding on to. And a guy said, this is no lie, the guy said in the meeting, well, it's not tradition, it's just the way I've always done it.
It's not tradition, it's just, well, you know, tradition.
Yeah, I said, run that by me again, because I do not think that word means what you think it means.
Well, and when the Pharisees would argue with Jesus about the law, people say, well, see, so the Bible's obviously not clear. That's not true. The Bible was clear. But when the Pharisees accused Jesus of disobeying the law, he wasn't disobeying the written Torah that came from Moses. He was disobeying the Talmud that came from their traditions. They came up with this idea that they were going to reinterpret it and tell us what it truly meant. That's what Jesus was taking issue with. So it's not really a problem with the Bible. It's a problem with these man-made fences that people keep putting around the Bible.
Exactly. Exactly. And we even do that in modern church culture.
Oh, all the time.
We have, as you know, I retired from the church I was at for 20 years downtown San Antonio. And I would get a call once in a while. I'd get a call. It's usually an older person and often an old woman. And she would say, "Well, now, what do you believe?" Or, you know, "Which Bible do you use? Do you preach the word? Do you preach the word?" and I would just cut to the chase and say, "Okay, what's the litmus test here?"
Yeah, it means there's some pet subject of hers that she's interested in.
Yeah, is it speaking in tongues? Is it the rapture? Is it eternal security? What's the thing you really get into? And because if that's what's important to you, you're probably not going to like my church anyway, even if I agree with your litmus test. If you're narrowing it down to these little pet things, it's probably not the church for you.
And that's what Jesus would have called straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel.
Exactly. But we do that today. You know, we have all these disagreements. We have all these different interpretations. So then is truth absolute or not? Is it universal? If something is God's truth, is it truth in every situation for every person? I think I know.
Well, it is, except that people believe what they want to believe. And I believe that we're going to be back after this break. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Not sure when to try an unusual novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here is another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined by my good friend, Jim Barrier.
You know, as I was listening to that break, I thought, just for the sake for that listener out there who's been listening to this show, we're talking about truth and absolute truth, and then we have a promo for a book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, which I have read, and it's a great book, and you say, well, then how can you have a talking cat and talk about magic, or push around the winds, how time travel? These are fictional works.
And they're called fictional.
Jesus told parables, and you can't take the characters and incidents literally. He was illustrating something. So I wanted to come to your defense there, just in case, just in case. Anyway, they're great books, folks. Any of Bob's stuff is
well, thank you. Boy, Jim, you're kind of in the role of my agent tonight.
Well,
in fact, since you've retired from your church, this could become a permanent gig for you, Jim. We might just have something here.
Well, take a number. There's a lot of people in line for that. Okay, so I'm going to make another statement again. I'm bringing a few of my barrierisms, which, of course, I didn't make up. Truth isn't invented. It's only discovered. So here's one. Knowledge equals responsibility. When truth is revealed to you, Now you're accountable to do something with it. Now, here's a quote. Somebody tell me who said, with great power comes great responsibility. Now, that line
I know Jesus said, to whom much is given, much will be required, which is similar to that.
It was repopularized in the Spider-Man films.
Oh, okay. Great
power.
Okay.
But it's been attributed to Voltaire, Teddy Roosevelt, Winston Churchill. But Jesus said, to whoever much is given, from his much will be required. Faithful with little, given much, that type of thing. So Jesus actually instituted that concept that with great power comes great responsibility. And with great revelation of truth becomes great moral responsibility. And I don't think that God is required or obligated to reveal any new truth until you've done something about what he's already shown you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I think some people get stunted because they just weren't obedient to what he already revealed to them. There's a great old story. I don't know if it actually happened, but it's kind of church folklore, preacher folklore. The new pastor was elected. He came into church and he preached a great sermon and everybody loved it. And the next week, he got up and he preached the same sermon. And the third week, he preached the same sermon over. And then finally, a guy came up and said, Pastor, why don't you preach something new? We've heard this message three times. And he said, I will when you do something about the first one.
That's right. You haven't obeyed the last sermon. Why should I preach a new one?
And I think God is kind of that mindset. He says, look, I've showed you some things here, starting processes, and you got to do that first. Brandon and I are baseball fans. The Padres won today, folks. Rah, rah, the Padres won. You can't hit the ball and run to second. You got to go to first base, then you go to second, then you go to third, and then you can come home. And truth is that way. You have to take things in the order that God reveals them to you. When you do something with it, then he'll give you more, and it will grow. I used to marvel when I was a young believer. I was actually young once, Bob.
Really?
I'd meet these guys. Yeah, and I love it. I'd meet some old guy, and he said, I've been a Christian for 30 years. And I think, wow. Well, now the pressure's on me. I became a believer in 1968. So this is just a thing for the listeners out there. Do something with what God already told you. Do the last thing he told you to do, and then he'll tell you the next thing. If you don't understand something, study, pray, and ask him to reveal it to you. And when he does, then act on it and incorporate it into your lifestyle and your daily walk. And I think that's a real key to gaining truth. Now, is the Bible true? Want to wrap up with that, because you do an awful lot of work in apologetics. What do you say to someone when they say the old thing, it's been handed down, it's translated, it's written by man? What's your answer to that, Bob?
Well, I would say, yes, it was written by men, but the men claimed to be inspired by God. I would say it's corroborated by other ancient history, by archaeology, by fulfilled prophecy. Could go on and on.
Yeah, but it's a cliche thing, and the problem is people hear that stuff, they're parroting what someone else said.
Right, and they say, well, this is what scholars say, and I correct them. I say, no, that is what some scholars say. There are many scholars who authenticate the Bible.
There are, and I have books on my shelf that I've read. I've read books by Henry Morris, F.F. Bruce, R.A. Torrey, the apologists like C.S. Lewis we mentioned, Josh McDowell, Lee Strobel's recently, and your works. There's plenty of stuff out there. If you want to validate it, you can find the stuff. The problem is people they don't want to know that the Bible is true.
No, it's not really an academic barrier. It's a moral barrier. God can take care of the academia like that. The question I always ask people is, if you knew it was true, would you follow it?
That's exactly the point. Try it out. Read it. And you can get a hold of me. You can get a hold of Bob. I've always told people, if you have a question, ask me. And if I don't know the answer, I'll be honest and say, I don't know the answer, but let's sit down and study and find an answer because I know it's in there. I believe the Bible. I told a friend of mine recently, a missionary friend, I'm thinking of starting a new church. I'm going to call it the First Jurassic Church for all of us dinosaurs who still believe the Bible is true and Jesus is who he claimed to be. But I do. I believe it. I believe the Bible. I think there are some things you've got to dig in a little bit to understand because it was written so long ago and we need to understand the languages and the culture and stuff. But I believe it's true and I think it's applicable and relevant today. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. And at this point, I've invested over 50 years. It's too late to change my mind.
Well, and like the Apostle Paul said, if Christ has not risen from the dead, then we are to be most pitied because we based our life on the, I'm not going to say belief, on the conviction that he did rise from the dead. If this was not true, then I would not be wasting my time coming on the air once or twice a week.
And the resurrection is a central issue, as well as who is Jesus.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. And if Jesus really rose from the dead, then he is who he claims to be, and what he teaches is true, and what he believes is true. Well, Jim, I will look forward to having you here incarnate in the studio in person next week.
Next week. Awesome. Okay, Bob.
All right. Well, until then, my friends, we will see you next time. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.